But I mentioned on the air, we're in our street, beautiful street studio here. And I said, well, Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr. just walked in the building. I think you were here for meetings, but you were kind enough to say, I'm going to pop in the radio studio.
At CNN, to talk about the painful milestone, the 500th murder this year in Chicago. And what people on the outside do not really appreciate, there are no gun shops in Chicago. There are no gun ranges in Chicago. The guns are coming in from the suburbs, and the drugs are coming in from Mexico. And unless there's a comprehensive plan that's really international, you really cannot stop it. Our hearts were riveted watching what happened in Newtown, Connecticut.
Yes.
And I think what touched us about that was these babies who will never see Santa Claus, you know. They'll never have their Easter Bunny. Their lives in the dawn of life were just snuffed out. And it touched something profound and deep. And the president spoke out profoundly, a tear-filled speech about it. I really wish he would come to Chicago. This urban thing is much more complex than Newtown. The zones, if you ask Chief MacArthur to come here today, he would take you to Austin, Lawndale, he would take you to Roseland and Inglewood. He would show you 45% to 50% unemployment. So you have these zones of depravity where banks have ripped the people off. Their homes have gone. Their jobs are gone. And now there's a kind of low-intensity drug-gone war. This is not just a matter of insanity, as in the case of Lance. This is the case. These are actual wars for territory.
And there's no question, Reverend, that the president gets it. I mean, every time he gives a speech, Chicago makes its way in his remarks. So he understands. The problem is, even though he made a very forceful statement, powerful statement, about the need for further regulations and gun control, he's facing a Congress that just isn't going to go there. Maybe they would have within a couple of days of Connecticut.
He gets it. I'm not sure the Congress does get it. And I think that Inglewood may be a greater laboratory to illuminate it. For example, these high-powered weapons, not only can they shoot people in theaters and classrooms, they can bring out airplanes. This really is a matter of national security. I went to out to Aurora, Colorado, when the killing took place, and I stood and looked at the apartment where the young man stayed, you know, that did the killing. And not far from there is the end of the runway. He could bring down airplanes. So this is not just a matter, you got some killings that take place because of post-traumatic syndrome. You got some other mentally challenged. Other people, there's high calculation, and the drug wars are high calculation political affairs.
You know, I've interviewed Richard Pearson. He is the head of the Illinois State Rifle Association. I know you saw the Wayne LaPierre interview on Meet the Press, and you can't get the pro gun people to acknowledge the need to sit at the table to say it's about mental health and it's also about gun restrictions, that it is a combination.
You take, for example, if you want a gun for your house, you got it. Even though you're more likely to commit suicide with that gun or kill a relative than a robber, gun for your house, okay? Gun for hunting. But these semi-automatic weapons, these assault weapons, have no place in gunnery, as it were. You know, you can't hunt rabbit and deer with them. You can only kill people with them. And you really are in danger. You go to the airport, and you almost get naked to go through the turnstiles.
That's right.
And yet someone can be just outside the airport and shoot down the plane with these high-powered weapons.
So what is the answer? How do you, I mean, look, when there's trouble in this country, we can pretty much wait, and the Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr. will be there to try and create peace and bridge a gap. Can you work with Washington to make something happen here? What do you get the pro-gun people to say, we'll talk about that?
Essentially, NRA, on the one hand, NRA takes a strong philosophical, ideological Second Amendment positions about guns, even though those who wrote that amendment had no idea what an assault weapon was about. But you have something else going here. The gun manufacturers make huge amounts of money, and they should be as responsible or as liable for these weapons as cigarette manufacturers were for cigarettes. We got to go at another level. I mean, 32,000 Americans are killed a year. 32,000 are killed a year from gunfire in America. We lost only 6,000 in Iraq in 10 years. 100,000 injured who don't die. This is a serious national crisis, and the children being massacred at Newtown should serve to illuminate that darkness.
Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr., we're talking about the fact that Chicago has hit number 500 in homicides in this city, and you were here talking to CNN. You stopped in our studio. It's a stunning number, Reverend.
And there are target zones. They can point to you. We know the gun shop that sells over half of the guns, Chuck's Gun Shop in Riverdale. We know the zones where the killing takes place. We know the drugs flowing in from Mexico and into Chicago from the suburbs. So we kind of, and if this were Iraq, if we knew where they were manufacturing guns and where the gun route was, we'd stop it. Here we are handicapped to stop the gun manufacturers and the gun flow, and we're living there with the result of that.
Reverend, we got Tom on the line. Tom maybe has an idea that might work. Hi, Tom.
Hi, good morning, Paul. Good morning, Reverend. How are you doing?
Good morning, Tom.
Very timely subject. You're right, Reverend. We don't have the avenue to find out where these weapons are coming from, but I was wondering, could you support a GPS chip in each weapon that is sold in the state or country, for that matter?
I understand.
A GPS chip?
Well, GPS chip. For example, the iPhones that are stolen, they could track that down to...
Oh, yes. I what you're saying. But matter of fact, we should also be able to license the bullets. You got some of the stolen guns. We should be able to follow them. But those who sell guns, they know the illicit market. They're very clear on you. I sell a gun to you, Paul, and legally. I sell 12 to you. Mm-hmm. You don't need 12 guns.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you don't have a 4 because 8 got stolen. You are the source of the straw purchase. They call them straw purchases.
But even if you look at Adam Lanza, the Newtown shooting, those were, as far as we know, they were legal guns. His mother owned them for whatever purpose she had, and the son got to them. I mean, it can be legal, and you still have these tragedies, these unacceptable tragedies.
Legal but bad law. I mean, for what purpose do you have these kind of weapons? I mean, the Second Amendment had to do with the issue between the states and the federal government. It had to do with organized militia. I can understand police and having these weapons or those who protect the president and the like having these weapons. But why should anyone be able to, without a gun, with a background check, go and buy a semi-automatic weapon or an assault weapon? For what purpose? Only to kill people.
It doesn't make any sense to me either. Bob's joining the conversation. Bob, you might have something that kind of pinpoints the problem here.
Yeah, I was at a big box sports store yesterday, and my wife and myself, we were appalled to see that there were over 30 people in line waiting to buy guns. And the interesting thing was, there was plenty of bolt action sport guns and shotguns, which you could not, he was down to a handful of repeating firearms. And then the line to buy handguns, I was just totally amazed. I mean, I'm a gun owner, but I've never seen anything like this, and it just sickened us that this was going on, and you know, there were six guys behind the counter trying to service people to buy guns.
All right, thank you, Bob. Reverend, what do you think?
No, I was listening to him. There's some data we were sharing, and the Breeder Center showed that the single year guns killed in Finland 17, Australia 35, in Britain 39, 60 in Spain, 194 in Germany, 200 in Canada, and 32,000 here in the States, because we've become gun addicted.
Reverend Jackson, it's Steve Bertrand upstairs. We just spoke in the elevator. And one of the things that strikes me and is discouraging is that we tend to hear, well, these are gangbangers who are shooting each other. They're taking each other out. And I remember hearing Mayor Nutter of Philadelphia say, well, okay, but these young men have mothers, they have sisters, they have fathers and brothers. And because one person is a gang member doesn't mean the loss isn't felt severely by many people around him.
Well, the killer at Northern Illinois University was not a gangbanger. Or the killer in the parking lot where Gabriel Gifford was shot was not a gangbanger. The guy who killed the people in the theater in Aurora, Colorado, was not a gangbanger.
But most of the victims in Chicago are.
Well, there are these zones that you have. This way, you have a drug war. And that's why it's an international drug war, because we don't make guns in Chicago. Don't sell guns in Chicago. Don't make drugs in Chicago. So the drugs and guns are imported, and they target these. If you look at, if McCarthy came here today, the chief, who I think is doing a good job, by the way, if he came here today, he would show you about seven areas where all these killings are taking place. This is a drug war. It's a drug war zone.